I really like the song Blessed Assurance. I really like it a lot when we do it that way. That was really awesome. Good job, you guys. Good morning, everybody. My name is Corey Cole, and in a few minutes, we're going to spend some time taking the Lord's Supper together, and I've been tasked with leading us in some thoughts before we do that, which is definitely an important thing. The Bible's pretty clear about the spirit and the heart that we're supposed to have when we take the Lord's Supper. It says that in Luke 22, we're to take that bread and take the cup in remembrance of him. And that isn't something we should take lightly, but I also think it's not something that we should overcomplicate. So I'd like to present to you a question that I asked myself and kind of share my response. But I asked myself this week, you know, thinking about what I'd be thinking about today when I take communion, what amazes me about the cross? And for me, I think what continually amazes me about the cross is how unexpected it is, or at least the end result of it. You would think that in a story about a man being tortured and beaten to death, having his hands and his feet nailed to the cross, and being deprived of food and water and companionship and dignity, that he would just die, and that be it. End of story. Most likely to be forgotten. But I think if everyone is here today, you kind of already know that that's not how it ends. And we're so used to that, but when you really think about it, it's like that's a very unexpected ending to that story. And it continually amazes me. The story of Jesus breaking his bread, and spilling his blood, and doing that for us, the sacrifice that he made, it's amazing that it just doesn't end with death, but it ends with life and life to the full. It seems incredibly unexpected and unlikely and seemingly impossible. I'm a very visual thinker, and so there's actually a passage that I wanted to share with you guys that kind of perfectly captures why it's so amazing to me. This is in Isaiah 41. I'm going to read for you guys verses 17 through 20. And again, I feel like it just kind of creates this perfect visual for how amazing it is, like the unlikelihood of the story of the cross. It says in verse 17, "The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created this." So again, I love this visual that's laid out for us, that in unlikely places and in unlikely ways, God makes things happen so that we're not parched in the wastelands and so that we can see and know who he is, that we can recognize who created this to be. And that's a really powerful thing. If you guys remember some of the things that Sajjan has shared with us in some of his sermons, just about the imagery that we find in the Old Testament, the representation of water whenever you see it in passages, how that represents baptism, or whenever you see images of wood that it represents the cross, you kind of start to piece together like this amazing visual in this story. Or if you're familiar with the Bema podcast and you've listened to Marty Solomon's episode about images in the desert, what the desert actually was, what a pasture was, all these different kinds of trees, some of them listed even in this passage. We start to see just an amazing visual that creates for us an image of salvation and refuge and wisdom and everlasting life and hope, all found in this unlikely place that these pools of water spring up in the middle of the desert. All these trees come together and provide refuge for whoever finds it. It amazes me in the same way that the story of the cross, even though it happened thousands of years ago, it changes my life today. That I don't have to thirst constantly for life or safety or refuge and hope, because in Jesus' death and in his resurrection, I find those things. So for me, that's what amazes me about the cross today. And that's what I'll be thinking about when I take communion. But this is your time of communion today with the Lord. And so I'd actually like to turn the question back on you for a moment. I'm going to pray for our communion in just a minute, but before we do that, I encourage you to just take a moment of silence. I'll give you guys probably like a minute, and I want you to think about what amazes you about the cross. Or if anything that I shared resonates with you, feel free to reflect on that for a minute, but I definitely encourage you to lead your own heart and lead your own mind as you prepare to take the Lord's Supper. So I'll give you guys just a moment of silence, and then I'll pray for our communion. Thank you that you invite us into your story and that your story becomes our story. I thank you for Jesus, for his sacrifice, that you loved us enough to sacrifice your son for us. I pray that as we take this moment to reflect, and as we take the bread and we take the cup, that we can remember you fully as you are, and that we can be filled with assurance about who you are and who we are. I pray this in your son's name. Amen.